Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. It's good to have you along today. Don't forget, if you miss any part of today's program, you can always just head on over to our website anytime you want. It's posted for you right there as a podcast. You can download it or stream it online and listen to the program all over again or hear the parts that you may have missed. Our guest today is Rhea Farberman, who's the Director of Communications for Trust for America's Health. The group's come out with a new study on obesity rates here in America, and there's some interesting findings to this study. Rhea, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
So if you would tell us, for folks who may not be familiar, who is Trust for America's Health? What's the organization? What's it about? What do you guys do?
Sure. Trust for America's Health is a nonprofit, nonpartisan health policy group in Washington, D.C. And what we do is research and promote the policies and programs that the data says will help make Americans healthier.
All right. And you guys have done this obesity study for how long now?
This is our 17th annual report on obesity.
And I can only imagine what's the answer to this question, but has it always gone up or have we ever gone down?
Always gone up. We are on an upward trajectory in terms of our weight, and it's a serious issue because obesity is associated with many health conditions that you don't want, health conditions like diabetes and heart disease.
Now, when you say the obesity rate, is this the number of people, the number of the population that is actually qualifies as obese, correct?
That's correct. And the report has looks at the data in many different ways. The top line data is the percent of U.S. adults who are obese, and we've passed the 40% mark. So more than 4 in 10 Americans, adults, have obesity. But the report also looks at the data based on age and gender and race and the state you live in.
Now, when you talk about the obesity rate, is this just a general number that all adults fall into, or do you look at it on a basis of age and that kind of thing? Do you break it out?
Yeah, obesity is determined by body mass index, and BMI is what people usually shorthand it as. So there's a formula that will tell you whether you're obese or not based on your height and weight. But we also do look at the data based on age and race and gender.
Now, this new report that you've just come out with is kind of alarming from the standpoint that we are getting closer and closer to the halfway mark of adults that are obese in America.
Yeah, that's right. And it's particularly concerning this year because the data show that there's a direct correlation between the most serious outcomes if you are infected with the COVID-19 virus and obese. So if you are unfortunate enough to become infected with the virus, if you're obese, you end up in the hospital more often and you end up dying more often than people who are infected and not obese. So it's a particular concern this year.
And I realize, of course, it's alarming that we keep going up and up and up, but okay, that's fine, but there's not a lot you can do about it unless you understand what the underlying cause is. Do we know why it is, to put it rather bluntly, why it is we keep getting fatter?
Yeah, it's a complex problem. Of course, everyone has to take individual responsibility for what they eat and the amount of exercise they get, but it's more complex than that. When you think about it, the conditions in people's lives make healthy choices either difficult or easy. Maybe I should just say attainable. Maybe they're not easy. But there are barriers to healthy choices for many Americans, and we need to knock down those barriers. So what kinds of things am I talking about? For instance, if you live in what we refer to as a food desert, which is a community that doesn't have easy access to a full-service grocery store, for example, if the closest food full-service grocery store is 20 miles away and you don't have a car or you have limited transportation alternatives, it's difficult to get access to that healthy produce in that store, for example. So you might make the choice that you can make, which is locally it's fast food or it's processed food at the corner market. That's going to affect your diet and your weight. So it's the quality of food you can access. It's the affordability of healthy food. We also have to think about our built environment in our communities. Does the community have sidewalks to encourage people to walk? Does the community have bike lanes to encourage people to bike? The school day is also an opportunity for us. We need to make sure that during the school day, first of all, kids can start their day by walking to school and walking home from school. If we make sure there are safe routes to do that, that's going to get them some exercise. That's going to be great. Also, during the school day, let's make sure that kids have physical education classes or opportunities for physical activity. And the meals served in school, let's make sure they're healthy.
One of the things that, I mean, it's just a part of the way society is nowadays. We're always on the run. Now, COVID, take that out of the picture. But for the most part, we're always busy. Is just convenience a big part of this where we just don't have the time? And for some people, the lack of the ability to know how to, but we just don't have the time to cook at home. It's just so much quicker, easier to grab something at the drive-thru. Is that a big part of the problem, too?
Well, I don't know. I suppose there's some of that, but I think the real pressure for many, many families is food insecurity. Food insecurity is when your food budget just doesn't stretch the full month, and you wind up having to make the less expensive food choice instead of the healthy food choice, or you literally don't have enough money to put enough food on the table. So what we need to do is invest in our nutrition support programs, WIC and SNAP, and make sure that they are generous enough that families are able to not only put food on the table, but put healthy food on the table.
Is part of the problem maybe marketing? Let's face it, I've been through the big box food emporium stores, and it's a lot easier to find an end cap display of cookies that are just stacked all the way to the ceiling as opposed to heads of lettuce stacked all the way to the ceiling. So is the marketing in the store part of what persuades us to eat more unhealthy?
Yeah, I do think that's part of it. I think you're onto something there. There are studies that show that marketing, particularly to children, of unhealthy foods, sugary drinks, sugary cereals, etc., is up, and particularly targets children of color, black children, Hispanic children, and poverty and obesity is a growing concern in those communities. So we really need the marketing industry and the food industry to step up and be part of the solution as well. And we also call on the government to disincentivize that kind of marketing. Don't give companies tax breaks for marketing unhealthy food to children.
Rhea Farberman, who's the Director of Communications for Trust for America's Health, is our guest today. We're talking about their obesity study that just came out. When you break it down into regions, Indiana is one of the heaviest states in the nation. We should not be proud of this ranking, but we came, in the top 10, top 12, I think, something like that?
Right. You're in the top 12 heaviest states in the nation at 35%, just slightly over 35%. You were at 34% last year, so you're on that upward trajectory that you don't want to be on. And, you know, we call 35% sort of the red zone, where the issue is becoming extremely serious. And the speed of increase is also something that we need to pay attention to. It's interesting to note that, 8 years ago, in 2012, no state had an adult obesity rate over 35%. We're now at 12 states over 35%, so the trajectory is quite steep, and we really need to pay attention to this.
I know you said that, you know, food insecurity plays a big part in this, but also, it's not the only thing. Could sedentary lifestyle, let's face it, I'm sitting here now looking at a computer as we talk on the phone and record this conversation. A lot of folks spend their entire day not just gaming, but actually working on computers and sitting in an office. Is that also kind of one of the big evils that's causing this problem?
Yeah, I do think you're right about that. I think that work has changed and more of us sit when we work. Few of us do manual labor. And also leisure time has changed to a great degree. Many people spend leisure hours on a device. It might be watching television, but it might also be looking at the internet on a device, playing a game on a device, catching up on email, catching up on social threads on a device. So they're sedentary, as you say. I think it is a problem, and we have to be more intentional about getting up and moving around and getting some exercise, weaving exercise and physical activity into our day. And it doesn't have to be grueling exercise. It can be going for a walk, but be intentional about it.
When we talk about who this is affecting, is this predominantly a problem for older people, younger people, middle-aged people, or just everybody?
It's a problem for everyone. Obesity rates are increasing from the youngest children into the oldest Americans. And it's particularly alarming in children. The U.S. obesity rate for children ages 2 to 19 is now just shy of 20%, 19.3%. So 2 in 10 kids are obese, not just overweight, but obese. And children are starting to exhibit health conditions that we used to only associate with older people, middle-aged people, things like hypertension and high cholesterol. That's particularly concerning.
Obviously, there's health concerns, and one of those is that obesity, I would think, could contribute in some cases, either rightfully or wrongfully, but sometimes just by mental perception, to other major health issues such as bulimia and anorexia and those kind of things. So I'm assuming we're expecting to see even more problems with that as the time goes on.
Well, I don't know that. The report doesn't look at that, but we certainly do report on data that associates obesity with cardiovascular health problems, diabetes, which is on the rise in this country, and some cancers.
Okay. So when we have this study out here, who do you want to read it, and what do you want them to glean from it, you know, as they take a look at it?
Well, the study, our reports are primarily focused on policymakers. We're trying to give policymakers recommendations about how to solve these problems that we've identified. But I think this particular report, because obesity is such an ubiquitous problem in our country, it's important reading for everyone, and everyone has a role to play. You know, parents can play a role in the food choices that they make for their family, the meals that are prepared for the family, and the behaviors that they model for the family, like eating well and getting some exercise. The industry has a role. We talked about marketing. The healthcare sector has a role, and government has a role, and schools have a role. So there's work to be done by everyone within every sector, and government needs to take the lead by having policies in place that knock down barriers to unhealthy choices and increase access to healthy choices, things like making healthy food accessible to everyone.
When you talk about policymakers, are you focusing on the state or the federal level or both?
Both. Now, the federal government is the main driver of nutrition support programs, so the federal government certainly has an important role to play. But state and local governments have roles to play as well. When you're putting in that new road in the center of town, are you also putting in bike lanes and sidewalks? And the school board has a role to play. When you're making decisions about how to allocate student time during the day, are you making sure that there is time for physical education programs and for physical activity during the day?
And when you talk about, you know, the government putting in bike lanes and that kind of stuff, one of the areas where there's got to be some concern is areas like ours. We're rural, and you don't get too many places without a car because it is a long trip to get everywhere. So it might be a little bit harder for rural citizens to actually, you know, do the healthy trip by biking or walking as opposed to folks in town. So there's going to have to be a little bit more concerted effort on folks that live out in the rural areas to make sure they get the right amount of exercise, right?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And the rates of overweight and obesity are increasing at an even faster clip in rural areas than they are in metro areas. So that's true. And if you can't walk places, and I hear you, maybe the community can create a community park with an area for walking, or a rec center with opportunities to be physically active. But I hear you. If you live in a place where you have to drive to get where you're going, you're going to have to be even more intentional about figuring out, how can I get some extra steps in my day? How can I get a little physical activity in my day?
Rhea Farberman is the Director of Communications for Trust for America's Health. They're out with their new obesity rate. You can find a news story on our website, and you can click on the link there if you would like to read the whole thing. And Rhea, one of the things I want to ask you, too, if folks are interested in Trust for America's Health, I realize, like you said, you guys put out this report mainly for government folks to read this and kind of help influence them a little bit. But if folks want to find out more about your organization, what you do, or read the report, where do they find you guys?
Oh, we'd absolutely welcome them to visit our website, which is www.tfah, Trust for America's Health, tfah.org. All our reports are there, and policy recommendations, and a lot of information for anyone who's interested in health policy.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for spending some time with us today. Rhea Fireman, the Director of Communications for Trust for America's Health. Again, their obesity report is out right now. Indiana not looking too good on that report, and neither is really Illinois for that matter. So if you'd like to read that report again, look for this story on our website. If you missed any part of today's program, it's posted for you right now on our website as a podcast. Thanks for being with us this weekend. We'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.